Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, written by St. Luke. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." Here ends the reading. You may be seated for the next hymn. Let us pray. Grant us hearts, dear Lord, to yield thee gladly, freely of thine own. With the sunshine of thy goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen. During the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln, in hopes of binding together the North and the South as one union, declared that the final Thursday of the month of November would be a national holiday. It's kind of a sad irony that what started out with the intent of being a day of thanksgiving to God has kind of become, for our culture, a secular day off, a day of football and feasting, and a holiday from school. And this year we're starting to now see the creep of the shopping craze starting to get a little bit sooner and sooner. And a new trend that I've noticed as well is the idea that our gratitude and thankfulness should not be directed to God, but that on this day you should find someone you can thank, a nurse or a soldier or a government official. At the time of St. Paul in the first century, and in the text that we had just heard read, Paul acknowledges to the people of Athens, who were deeply religious people, He acknowledges that they had a desire to relate to God, a God, in some way, according to their natural knowledge, guessing who this God might be. The people of Athens had recognized that there must be some kind of divine power over them. There must be some type of interaction that should take place between themselves and this deity or these deities. Not necessarily sure who this would be. And they even went so far as to have an altar set up to a god in case they missed one, this unknown god, in their lives of worship. But simply being grateful to a supreme being for your existence and for your sustenance is really not true religion. Even the demons and the raccoons can be thankful and grateful to God for their life and for their sustenance. It is true, as Paul says in our text, that in him, in God alone, we live and move and have our being. And our daily existence, everything that happens to us during the day and all the food that we eat and all the blessings that we enjoy is certainly part of God's providence and his care for us, that he showers down upon believer and unbeliever and atheist and pagan alike. Here in the United States, I think we have some particular challenges to being truly grateful to God for our earthly blessings. One of the reasons is our standard of living is just so high. And when you live and grow up and have been saturated with such a tremendous standard of living compared to how the rest of the world lives, we begin to expect it. Well, I'm supposed to have that. That's just the way my life should be. And you also have a tendency to lose perspective on how wonderful these blessings truly are. So often when you hear of people that travel to other countries and live for a while and come back, what a different perspective they have on the blessings we enjoy here. And I think it becomes easier for us to fail to connect the daily blessings that we have back to the hand of our good and gracious God and to express our gratitude to him often as we should. Now, Paul's goal in speaking to the Athenian people here is not just to chastise them about an altar to an unknown God, but is ultimately to bring his hearers to the cross of Christ and to see that it is only here where we can know the one true God who has done so much more for them than just giving them food and clothing, but this is the God that has gone ahead and purchased their salvation, their eternal life, through the death of his own Son. Not only to provide for us a nice life in this world, but more so in the life that is to come. And this is where true thanksgiving is to be found for us. It is at the cross. That is where true thanksgiving to God alone can be found. If you think about it, there will be many people in hell who are very thankful to God, who maybe even prayed before their meals and gave gratitude to God for earthly blessings and yet died in unbelief. And so for us, despite whatever earthly status we may enjoy right now or in the future, whether up or down from where we are right now, whatever temporal blessings we get to have, God invites you and calls upon you through his word to view them through the cross and what he has done for your salvation eternally through the work of his Son. By faith in Christ alone, we can know that God's dedication to us doesn't end with a nice dinner or a soft pillow or a peaceful country in which to live, all of which are wonderful gifts. But his blessings and dedication to us end in the feast of salvation above. So on this Thanksgiving, may God give us the eyes of faith to view our earthly blessings through the cross. If the raccoon can look to God for food and the unbelieving pagan can build an altar to an unknown God, how much more so should we who know his grace in Christ and know what he's prepared for us eternally, how much more should our thanksgiving swell from our hearts? Amen. Please join me now on page 32 in the front part of your hymn book with the words of the first article and explanation. Let us rise. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them, that He richly and daily provides me with food and clothing, home and family, property and goods, and all that I need to support this body and life, that He protects me from all danger and guards and keeps me from all evil. And all this purely out of the fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me, for all which I am in duty bound to thank and praise, to serve and obey Him. This is most certainly true.